California Association of Realtors attorney Neil Kalin. He'll come on again. He comes on once a year. He spoke at the Santa Barbara Association of Realtors. And throughout the course of his one-hour talk, he answered questions. Someone asked a question, and he said, well, you know, a lawyer's favorite answer is, it depends. And, you know, that's a fair comment. It's complicated. I went and spoke with him after the program. We were chatting, and I didn't mention this to him, but he was standing up at the front, and there was a whiteboard behind him, and a big sign on it said bathroom with an arrow to his right. I thought that was a little distracting, but no one brought it up. So he was talking about new forms in the California Association of Realtors. We only have about 400 forms, and so we finally, they update it usually twice a year, actually, June and December. And one of the terms in the property management forms is landlord is now referred to as what? What would you think would be a good replacement for the word landlord? Landlord versus tenant. Richard, what do you call your landlord? Housing provider. Okay. Housing provider. They didn't say that the tenant will now be known as a housing recipient. But that's one change in property management. Also, when you sell land, there's a separate form. Obviously, you're not selling a residential single-family home or a condo. That's one form. Then you have units. You have a form for units. But when you sell land, a lot of times there might be a little caretaker's house or a little bit of a cabin. So now they're making sure that all the residential disclosures have to be completed. A lot of times you would use the land contract where there would be not the traditional residential disclosures. So that's good. They separated out the buyer contingency removal form because on the same form you would also have a seller because sometimes a seller has a contingency removal form. Or not a form, but had so it was on the same form. So now you have two different forms, buyer contingency removal, seller contingency removal. And one of the things on the buyer contingency removal is, you know, you can check all contingencies or then there's a list of different. And they separately list insurability. You see, that's part of your investigation of the property, insurability. And you can't forget that because that is critical in this market. Got to get that right away. A lot of people, and the reason why they did this, he said, was that a lot of people feel like, well, if the lender won't give me a loan because the property's not insurable, which is possible, that's not a reason to use your loan contingency because insurability is part of the investigation contingency. So you have to be careful of that. There was something else about contingencies. It was when you buy a mobile home, thought I had this written down somewhere, so traditionally a buyer has the contingency, sometimes a seller have a contingency like to buy a replacement property. So when you buy a mobile home, manufactured home, he was pointing out that the park has a contingency to approve the buyer. So it's a third-party contingency. And I shouted out, I wouldn't want to buy a mobile home at a park that would have me as a member. And, of course, Neil immediately recognized Groucho Marx. We have something called text overflow. And someone raised their hand and said, you know, there's not a lot of space there. But they have this mechanism that if you start writing a line under, sometimes there's a blank line under a particular paragraph, And it automatically opens up a text overflow page. So it becomes like an addendum. So you have to be aware of that. And, you know, it prints. And it seems to be a good mechanism, but this agent wasn't happy with that. He wanted more space. And Neil quoted his former boss and said, it'd be like handing a machine gun to a monkey, which was kind of a disparaging comment, but Neil didn't say it. He quoted his old boss. But seriously said that, you know, the contract is written by attorneys with input from brokers and agents, and there's a reason why there's not a whole lot for you to write in, because suddenly the more you write, the more you might say something incorrectly, even the best of us. Default to look at offers. You know, a lot of times in this market, what evolved was we're not going to look at an offer until a certain date. So now that's in the listing agreement that says either a certain date or X number of days after it goes into MLS. And of course, the seller can always amend that. Appraisal contingency, also from this market, someone would write an offer for $3 million. And said, but you know what? Generally, what it means is it has to appraise at $3 million if you're getting a loan. You can waive the appraisal contingency. Or people were saying, as long as the appraisal, say, comes in for $2.7 million, I'll buy it. So that was very impactful because prices were going up and the lenders, you know, they just might not be up to breast in the latest sales. So you're letting the seller know that you've got flexibility. You'll make up the difference in cash, in other words. And so what if the seller counters the purchase price? What happens? What if you end up at $3.3 million? Now, there's a percentage from $3 million to $2.7. So now they have in writing that the difference will remain the same. So you got to be aware of that as a buyer. If you write an offer for $3 million and say, well, as long as the appraisal comes into $2.7, you end up paying $3.3. Unless you've changed the 2.7 in writing, you know what? Scratch that. What they did was avoided that, and the difference remains the same. So if you end up at 3.3, then the appraisal has to come in at 3. So the $300,000 difference remains the same. This is contrasting to the 3% deposit that you put down. Say you're buying $1 million house, 3% deposit, $30,000, and then you get up to $1.5 million, it says in writing that the percentage will change along with that. But that's distinguished from this ploy of offering the seller that you'll buy the house even if it doesn't appraise at the agreed upon purchase price. Mobile home, I already did. Probate, they put in 60 days to protect the buyer from waiting forever for a court date. And so let's say you're in day 21 of escrow and you have a 60-day contingency. The court date is set for 60 days from day 21. Well, you can cancel. Chances are you won't if you're in and you want to wait. And it got me thinking about canceling and tying up a seller. And I went up to Neil after and I asked him, and he knew exactly what I said. I said, where am I remembering where I would counsel my buyer and they would be tying up the seller, but the buyer could exit. They have an out. I couldn't remember what that was. And he knew right away. And it's the backup position. If you, as a buyer, fill out the form for a backup position and you give the seller 30, 45 days. And at that point in time, you know, so you're locking the seller in for 30 or 45 days. And you're waiting to see if that other escrow goes. So he's locking you in. No, you can cancel. And let's see, CC&Rs. Of course, today's day and age, a lot of these CC&Rs go back in the 40s, 50s. Three classes of people are referenced sometimes: blacks, Asians, and Jews. And he said, if you have a buyer who's buying into a house and there's some, it's not just condos, there's neighborhood CCNRs, single family. And he said, don't worry. It does not apply, even if, you know, even if it's in there. I thought to myself, well, what if you're happy? It still doesn't apply. I gave you his favorite answer. You ask a lawyer a question. It depends. Tenant-occupied property, there's a form called TOPA, which stands for Tenant-Occupied Property Addendum. You got to be careful when you're buying a house and you got grandma living in the property or an adult occupant. These people are considered tenants because when you're buying a house, the property has to be delivered vacant. What if the son who's living out in the ADU is still there? So you might have to use the Tenant-Occupied Property Addendum, TOPA. And finally, he mentioned fire hardening and defensible space, which no one wants to talk about. So it got me to call someone from the fire department, and he's going to come on, might be next week, because a client of mine had him come out. He does inspections. We're always afraid they're going to find something. So he'll give you an opinion from the fire department's perspective. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.